From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. You gotta love it when the punishment fits the crime. Tomorrow, Volkswagen will announce a draft plan for creating a subsidiary that will invest about $2 billion over the next decade. In what? In zero-emission vehicle infrastructure, a.k.a. electric cars. This is, of course, part of the settlement from the company's emissions cheating case, and it will include a plan for some 500 electric vehicle charging stations around the country. Big plans. Will they make a difference? David Kirsch is a professor of business at the University of Maryland who's written about automotive history. David, thanks for talking to me.
Happy to be here.
So what is the biggest challenge to a real national electric car ecosystem? Is it batteries, charging stations, shale deposits? What is it?
You know, the real problem with any ecosystem is it's a little bit all of the above. I think if there were any one single attribute, we could focus exclusively on that and fix it.
Uh-huh.
So the problem is that we have consumer preferences, we have energy markets, and policy and all these things interacting with each other. So it's very hard to kind of put your finger on any one thing and say, ha-ha, this is going to be the critical variable.
Do you think this Volkswagen plan will create a tipping point?
Remember, we're punishing them for doing something wrong.
A grudging effort.
I think this is a little bit of a grudging effort. Now, obviously, Volkswagen did have electric vehicle programs in place before they got caught, and this is maybe helping them in some way build their future market for these cleaner products. But it's a little bit wishful thinking to believe that the punishment for this misdeeds on the diesel side is going to somehow be a panacea for the electric vehicle. I think this is, you know, an incremental advance in a long-term process.
What is it in your mind that might really make all of this happen finally?
Well, I think it will take time. You know, we didn't build gasoline distribution infrastructure overnight. So I think the biggest challenge is consumer adoption of the vehicles and getting people comfortable with the idea of an electric car, understanding that an electric car can do many of the things that an internal combustion vehicle can do. That's really where the effort needs to be on the uptake. It remains to be seen how much the infrastructure is really interfering with that.
David Kirsch is a professor of business at the University of Maryland. David, thank you very much for talking to me.
My pleasure.
All right, you've done it, I've done it, we have all done it, signed the Terms of Service or Privacy Agreement without looking at a dang thing in there. I scroll to the bottom sometimes just to look at the text and pretend I'm reading and thus not guilty. But you know what? It is not our fault. The 7 gajillion words of legalese are usually incomprehensible. Now think about the fact that kids are doing this when they sign up for things like Instagram. It's a problem, and attorney Jenny Afia is trying to help with a solution, or at least an exercise. She has rewritten the app's privacy policy as part of a task force set up by the British government, and she's here to talk about it. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
Why did you do this specifically for kids?
I was part of a government organization called the Children's Commissioners Task Force, and it was about looking at children growing up in the digital age. One of the things as a group we saw was the first thing you do as a young person downloading a social media app is you click and agree to the terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Well, we were very skeptical that children and young people would actually be understanding the terms and conditions.
Hey, I mean, it's hard for me to understand them sometimes, and I'm an adult.
Exactly. We did a readability study and found that you have to be of postgraduate level to be able to follow the 17 pages of text that Instagram have.
Wow. Do you use Instagram, and do you have kids who use Instagram?
I love Instagram. My children are little, so they're not using it yet. But one of the other things we found working with this children's commissioner is that children as young as three are spending on average 8.5 hours per week online, which shocked me.
Why do you think nobody reads terms of service privacy policies? Do you think it's because they're so hard to read?
Yeah, it's because they're so hard to read, 17 pages long. They use very dense language, and they're really boring. I mean, I'm a lawyer, and I find them really boring.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because, I mean, these policies are often written by lawyers, right? And you're a lawyer. I think a lot of people would assume that, in a way, the lawyers are part of the problem.
The problem is that lawyers, and I include myself, are sort of not very creative, stuffy, and quite pompous. So terms and conditions have always been written in a certain way, and no one has thought to redo it. The more sinister explanation is that these terms and conditions are deliberately written in very complicated language, precisely because the companies don't want people to realize exactly how their privacy is being commoditized.
Which do you think it is?
I mean, some tech companies, particularly startups, have contacted me and said, we love what you've done. Can you help us make our terms and conditions make sense for everyone, not even just for children?
Jenny Afia is a partner at the law firm Shillings. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, I want to hear from you and be honest. What tech company terms of service or privacy policies did you read carefully? I mean, really read. Tweet me, tell me which ones you read, if any. I'm at The Brock Johnson, and something tells me I'm not going to hear from many of you, but we'll see. That's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.